Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out.
One of the most confusing words in the Bible is the word repent. I mean, when we talk about repentance, like, what comes to your mind? Some of you may think like, well, like repentance to me means I get into this like deep mode of guilt and sorrow and really just wear myself out. I'm a terrible human being, and that's repentance. And then some of you, it's like, man, repentance is saying I'm sorry. But when Jesus says repent, is he really saying, hey, come to me and say that you're sorry, or is he trying to tell us something completely different? See, repentance is not about emotion as much as it is about heart transformation, which leads to a change of direction. The word repent really means turn around. You're going in the wrong direction. Turn around. Your life is out of tune, and I want to put it back together. A perfect illustration for this is a capo. How many of you know what a capo is and what it does? If you're not aware, you put the capo on your guitar, and it changes the key. So it makes it easier to play in different keys. Now, guys like me don't need capos because I'm very, very efficient at the guitar. But other guys that aren't that good, you know, you put a capo on, it simplifies it. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was watching the worship team, and they went into a song. And as the song started, Randy, who's our worship pastor, immediately grabbed the capo and moved it. What happened is he strummed the first chord, and he heard, I'm in the wrong key. And so he immediately made the adjustment. He could have kept on playing, but it would have been a train wreck. He heard something is off and it needs to be fixed. That's repentance. It's coming to the awareness that something is off, something is broken. There's something about my pattern and direction that's just not working. And I'm wanting to change direction, which comes from a change of heart. Today, I want to walk through the story of Jonah with you a little bit, because I think Jonah is a great example of what repentance should be, at the same time as looking at it as like, this is absolutely not what repentance is. Most of you are probably familiar with the story. It's one that you grew up with in Sunday school. You saw it on the flannel board, the whale and then Jonah, and Jonah's disobedient, so the whale swallows him. But there's actually way more to this story that you may not be aware of. See, it all starts with God speaking to Jonah because Jonah is a prophet. The whole responsibility of a prophet is to tell people you are going in the wrong direction and God wants you to turn around. Yet we quickly find out that Jonah himself is going in the wrong direction. Because God says, I want you to go to Nineveh to preach to the people there. And here's the message, Jonah, tell them to repent. Tell them they need to turn around. But instead of Jonah going where God has asked him to go, he decides, I'm going to go my own way. And the reason he makes that decision is because he hates the people of Nineveh. He does not want to preach to them because he knows if they hear the message of God and they repent and turn, God's merciful enough to hear them, forgive them, and heal their land. Jonah does not want that. So the Bible says he flees as far as he possibly can go. He's running away from the call of God on his life and from the presence of God. Until finally God sends a storm which results in Jonah being thrown overboard, which results in Jonah getting swallowed by a great fish, which results in Jonah crying out to God and God saving him. But here's what's amazing to me as I read that story. Even though Jonah cried out to God, even though God saved him, even though Jonah eventually changes his direction, there's no indication that there was ever a heart transformation. He changed the direction, but he never changed his heart, because as soon as he gets out and does what God asked him to do, he complains about it. He gets mad at God and says, "This is exactly why I didn't want to preach to him." Because they've actually repented and now they're experiencing your mercy, and I am mad. See, repentance is not behavior modification. It's a heart transformation. There's three observations I want to give you from this story. The first observation I want to make note of is Jonah's downward spiral. If you read his story starting in Jonah chapter 1, the writer is intentionally using language to tune us into something. There's something he's wanting us to see. He's wanting us to see immediately Jonah's downward spiral. And watch this. In Jonah 1, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh.'" There's your direction. That's where I want you to go. "It's a great city, and I want you to call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah, in verse 3, instead of getting up and going to where God has told him to go, he decides, "Nah, I'll go to Tarshish and flee from the presence of the Lord." That's where Jonah's rebellion is first read about in the story. He says, "You know what? I'm going to determine what is right for me. I'm going to be the person who defines what is good and what is bad. I will be the person who defines what is right and wrong." It actually sounds a lot like society today. I'll determine what's good and evil. I'll define what love is. I'll define what justice is. I'll figure out life for myself. And that never goes good. Anytime you think I'm going to take my own path, it always will end very poorly unless God's hand is on it. There's something I learned a long time ago that took me a while to learn. And I'm hoping, like Gracie, you can get this today quicker than I did. It's Psalm 16:11. It says this: "For you make known the path of life." Get this. Jesus is showing you the direction that leads to life. Then it says, "In my presence is the fullness of joy. At my right hand are pleasures forevermore." What that means is when you do things my way, it ends well for you. It's the only path that leads to what true life and human flourishing looks like. Yet we choose our own path, which gets us sunk. I went skiing one time, and if you've ever been skiing, you'll notice that the slopes there, they take time to groom them and make them like this nice place for you to ski. But when I was a kid, I didn't want to take their path. I wanted to figure it out on my own. So Ken, here's what I did. I found this little narrow spot through the woods. I was like, "Yep, that sounds like me." And so I get going, I'm going through the woods, I'm cutting, I'm shredding. And as I go, the snow's getting deeper and deeper and deeper until finally I come up to a tree and my ski clips the tree and I stop and I sink. Now I am chest deep. And there's no way out because of the skis. I have gotten myself into something that is far beyond my control. You don't have to ever raise your hand, but how many of you've gotten yourself into something that is far beyond your control? What started it? I'll take my own path. I'll do marriage and relationships the way I want to do marriage and relationships. I'll treat people the way I think they should be treated based upon my assessment of who they are as a person versus what God has actually said. It's amazing. I was telling Randy the other day, I was like, do you realize what would happen if husbands said, I'm going to start being the type of husband God has designed me to be? I'm going to love my wife the way God has designed me to love my wife. And then if wives decided, you know what? I'm going to do marriage the way God intended it. I'm going to love my husband the way God has designed me to love my husband. And now as parents, we are going to instruct our children in the ways that lead to life. And then something magical happens and the kids actually respond to that instruction. If you're a parent, you know that's a miracle. I think I can walk on water quicker than I can get my kids to do what I tell them sometimes. But imagine, like, the kids now respond to us as their parents. They respond to the instructions we're giving them in the way that God has desired it. You know what's going to happen? There's going to be amazing peace at our house. It's going to be in an amazing place to live. Now imagine if that spreads beyond the home into the community. Beyond the community into the city, beyond the city into the nation, beyond the nation into the world. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It's one of those things. If we actually all determine we're going to do life God's way, there will be ultimate peace, there will be joy, and there will be the pleasures he talks about that are at his right hand. Every bit of brokenness that we experience in this life is because someone has determined, I'll do it my own way. And not only does their sin affect them, it affects the people around them. Hello? Jonah's on a boat. There's a storm because of him. And it's not just affecting his life. It's affecting everybody on that boat. So Jonah has made the decision, I will do my life. I will do life my own way, go my own direction. And we see it starts taking him further and further and further down. Watch how the writer points this out to us. Jonah 1:3 says, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now notice every time it says down, because he's taken us somewhere. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into the ship to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each of them cried out to his God, and they hurled cargo over that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down deeper into the boat. Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship, and he had laid down and fallen fast asleep. You see the downward descent? He's going further and further down into his rebellion. And it gets to the point to where now that the storm has come, he doesn't notice. Everybody else on the ship is freaking out, trying to figure out how to resolve the issue. They're praying to their gods. They're throwing stuff overboard. And Jonah is so numb that he is sleeping through the warning. It's like an alarm clock going off. This is bad. This is bad. This is bad. And Jonah's sleeping straight through it. Have you ever had a body part fall asleep? Sometimes I lay on my arm wrong and it falls asleep, and when I wake up in the morning, my alarm's going off. I'm like swinging all over the place, trying to find my phone, and I'm like knocking lamps all, you know, knocking lamps over. And finally, when I get my phone in my hand, I'm like, you know, I can't get it to work right. The reason is because a nerve has either been like pinched or the flow of blood has been cut off. And so my body gets numb, and because my body's numb, I'm now disabled. I can't function properly. The same thing can happen with your life and your heart. You can go so far away from the direction of the Lord that you eventually get numb to the warning signs. The conviction of the Holy Spirit that's saying, turn around, I've got something better for you. You get numb to that warning and you keep on going further and further down. And that's what's happening in Jonah's life. He is ignoring the signs, he has become numb, and he has gone so far down that now the storm is going on and he doesn't care. Until finally he gets thrown overboard. And here's the thing about being thrown overboard. Maria, it was avoidable. The storm that Jonah is experiencing was avoidable. Because the storm was not sent to destroy Jonah, it was sent to turn him around. All he had to do is say, I get it. And it would have stopped. Have you ever been to Whitewater before? I've talked to you about the Lazy River. You know, you get in the Lazy River and it's got a flow to it. There's a current. It's taking you somewhere. And all you got to do is relax and enjoy the ride. But when I was a kid, I would turn like this and fight the current to see how far I could go until I got so tired and so worn out that I finally gave up and said, enough, and I turn around and go. That's what it's like trying to go against the will of God for your life. It's fighting the current. God sent the storm to turn Jonah around. But instead of turning around, he keeps on going. Watch this. Jonah chapter 1, verse 11. And remember, you don't have to abandon ship. Turn to the person next to you and say, you don't have to abandon ship. Not if you'll change direction. That's important to understand because I was talking to someone earlier today and I was like, you know, sometimes we get so frustrated with our life that we think the best thing for me to do is just jump overboard. But that's a terrible solution when all you have to do is turn around. Watch what Jonah says in chapter 1, verse 11. So they notice the storm, they're freaking out, trying to figure it out. And they said to Jonah, what shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, here's the plan. Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, and it will quiet for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. If you read Jonah's story, he is a terrible human being. That's the part they don't tell you in Sunday school. He is a terrible human being with a terrible heart. But I'll give it to him right here. He actually recognizes the fact that this is on me. This storm is because of me. Sometimes we have to realize the thing that we are in is because of my stupid decisions. We like to blame other people. But at some point in time, we've got to own up and go, I am here because of what I did. I knew the right thing, and I chose not to do it. I know none of y'all relate to this. But I had to add it for the 9:30 crowd because they're wild. And there are things that they chose to do that have ended very badly for them. And you have to recognize that I am in this situation because of my choice of direction. But the good news is all I have to do is turn around. But Jonah's so stubborn, he thinks, you know what a better solution is? Throw me over. And now, he gets swallowed up and taken to the bottom. He's gotten himself so deep that now he's sunk. But not only is he sunk, he's been swallowed. Some of you have been there before. You've gotten so sunk. You've gotten so deep into something, you're like, this thing has actually swallowed me up. And I don't see any hope. I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe if I would have turned earlier, I could have avoided this, but now I'm in it. I mean, the Bible uses language like he takes him down to the roots of the mountain. It's trying to show us how deep this rebellion has taken Jonah in his life. But here's the miracle of it all. And here's what I need you to pay attention to. No matter how deep you go, Jesus is willing to meet you there. Jesus is always there, ready to come to you. He's not pointing out, hey, well, you made this mess, you get out. That's not how Jesus works. He is always wanting to get you back to that place that leads to life, that place that leads to ultimate joy and satisfaction. And all you have to do is shift your eyes and say, I get it now. I'm ready to turn. I get it now. I get that my direction ends badly, and now I desire to go your way. And God, it's not that I just want to go your way. I want you to give me the heart and the ability and the strength to accomplish it, because I don't have the ability to do it on my own. That's repentance. But what's amazing to me is, even though Jonah changed direction, he never changed his heart. He changed direction. God, get me out of this thing. God got him out of it. But there's no indication that he ever changed his heart. I'll do what you said. I'll go your direction, but my heart is still not in this thing. See, sometimes when we make repentance about behavior modification instead of heart transformation, we miss the mark. Because we think, okay, here's the deal. I heard the sermon. Now I've got a checklist of all the things I need to do. Be better, be better, be better, be better, be better. And the point is, it's possible for you to be as good as you think you can be and still have a terrible heart. Why? Because repentance is not behavior modification, it is heart transformation. Then the heart transformation will lead to behavior modification. But if you get it backwards, you're going to get it all wrong and you end up getting frustrated. Jesus tells the people, he says, you know what? You've heard it said, do not murder. I mean, how many of you in here would agree that murder is bad? So everybody in the crowd, they're like, yeah, I can get behind that. Jesus, do not murder. I've not done it. And Jesus says, well, here's the deal. You have hate in your heart. And if you have hate in your heart, it's just like committing murder. In other words, you've restrained yourself from the behavior, but you've not transitioned your heart. He tells them, do not commit adultery. And everybody's like, yeah, man, I haven't done that. And Jesus says, if you look at someone with lust, you've committed adultery. What's the point he's trying to make? He's trying to make it's possible to do the right things and not be the right person because your heart has not turned to him. It's very easy to become a people that honor God with our lips. We say the right things, but have a heart that is completely separated from who he is and what he wants to do. This week I was reading the book of Amos, and in Amos, if you go through it, he's talking to the people of Israel, and he's like, man, you're worshiping, and you're singing the songs, and you're giving your offerings, and you're making all the sacrifices, and God hates it. What do you mean? God hates my worship. God hates my giving. God hates my serving. Yeah. Because your heart's wicked. He lets them know you're doing all the things you think you should be doing, but you're still mistreating people. You are not living a life that is adding peace and justice and love to the world around you. You're honoring me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Are you seeing that? Here's where I need that to land. It is possible for us to come to church every Sunday. It is possible for us to serve on a team. It is possible for us to give an offering and still have a heart that has not been transformed by God. And God is more concerned with who you are becoming than what you are doing. Because he knows if he can get you to become the right person, then the do will flow. Everything flows from the heart, the command center of your life. That's what he's wanting to transform, and only Jesus can transform it. It's not through our ability to whip ourselves into shape and do all these things that we've made it about, and we've turned this thing into a religious experience. And we still have a heart that does not know God. Here's what I want you to understand. It's not about becoming a perfect person. Because the truth is, as long as we're on this side of the dirt, before the return of Christ, we'll never be perfect. Even if I can fix my behaviors, without the change of heart, the fruit will keep on showing up. That's why some of you have wrestled with the same thing over and over again. Like, you've disciplined yourself enough to change the behavior for a time, but then all of a sudden, the fruit you cut back shows up thicker and bigger. I've got this bush at my house that every winter I cut it all the way to the ground where you can't even see it. But come spring, you know what happens? It pops up more full, more vibrant than it was the year before. The reason for that is because I dealt with the surface issue, but never got to the root. See, religion is all about you dealing with the surface issue. Every day, Justin, deal with the surface issue. I've got anger. I'm not going to be angry today. I need patience. I'm going to be patient today. You know, I'm going to stop doing this, and I'll start doing this, and I'll discipline myself, and I'll get a routine. And I think it's wonderful to get routines and try things. It's great, but at the core of it, unless Jesus changes your heart, that stuff will come back. In some way, shape, or form, it will come back. Why? Because you can't fix you. That's really a core message of the gospel, is that you cannot fix you. You are in need of a Savior, and the good news is you have one who gives you a new heart, who gives you a new life, who fills you with his Spirit, which now gives you the ability to be who you could never be on your own. So repentance is about me coming to Jesus and saying, okay, it is very obvious to me that my direction is not working. And so I am turning to you. I am choosing your way. I am making you my king. And I am trusting that you will work in me, on me, and through me until you get me where you want me to be. And I also trust that it's a process. See, sometimes we want it to be an overnight thing. And we don't see results immediately, and so we get frustrated, not realizing that sometimes it's small adjustments being made on a daily basis that bring the biggest results down the road. I was telling someone earlier today, I said, you know, if you drew back a bow and arrow and you had it perfectly sighted in on the center of the target, a slight movement to the right or a slight movement to the left isn't that noticeable to you. I mean, I'm moving right now, right? It's not that noticeable. But the longer that arrow travels, the more of a difference it's going to make. That's how you have to see your life. When God starts working on you, He is shaping you. He is molding you. He is taking you through things that is producing the strength and the endurance so that you can be who he's called you to be. And it can't be overnight. You know, we want a microwave Christianity, and God's saying sometimes we got to put that thing in the slow cooker. What I want to do in your life, I can't do in 3 minutes and 30 seconds. I need 8 hours on low. You following what I'm saying? Jesus looked at my life as I need to soak them beans for a while before we get them things going. Those things are hard. But if we'll trust him with that process, the Bible says he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. So what do we do with this? What do we do with what we're talking about today? Because it cannot be just something that we hear and nod our head to and then go back to live in our life. Like, this has got to be a thing to where, like, I want to leave transform. This prayer right here changes the game when you really mean it. This prayer I'm about to give you right here that comes from Psalms is something that I have to say over and over again. Check this out, Psalm 139. Verse 23, he says, search me. Put a magnifying glass on it. See, some of us never get to that vulnerable place where we're willing to say, God, look at my heart. Let's check this thing out. But he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there's anything grievous in me, and then lead me into the way of everlasting. What that means is I'm not just surrendering my life for you to examine it, but I'm actually saying once you examine it and you start showing me some things, I'm going to move in that direction. For some of you, that means when God starts showing you how you're doing, relationship is not working, then you're going to make the adjustment and start doing relationship his way. When he starts showing you that marriage is not working the way you're doing it, you're going to say, okay, God, I'm going to do marriage your way. I'm going to parent your way. God, I see the kind of trouble this thing right here is getting me in. And I'm pointing to my mouth. I see the kind of trouble that my mouth has gotten me in, and I am willing to close it so that I can go your way. See, it's cute to say, like, search me, O God, and know me, O God, and lead me into the path of everlasting. And then he starts showing you some stuff, and you're like, oh, no, I'll go to Tarshish. I've been there before in my life, like, God, I just want to do life your way. And then he shows me, and I'm like, not that way. I don't want to love that person. But that's the only thing that's truly going to change you, is when you get that kind of heart that says, God, look at it. Xavier, look at it. Examine this thing. Trinity, if you see it in there, God, and you want to change it, I'm willing to fix it. There were things in my life that when I was younger, as soon as God pointed those things out to me, I started making adjustments. Not because it was easy, not because it felt good in the moment, but because I truly believed that God is trying to take me somewhere. I truly believe Psalm 16:11 that he is making known to me the path that leads to life. I truly believe that in his presence there is the fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. I truly believe that anything apart from God is dysfunctional. And I don't want that. I don't want dysfunction. Some of you in here, you're moving into a season of your life where you're about to get married and you're starting families, and I'm saying, do it God's way. Some of you in here, you're single. and you're looking for the person of your dreams. And all I'm saying is, do it God's way, because you can save yourself a lot of heartache down the road. Some of you are in here, you're thinking about starting a business. And all I'm saying is, do it God's way. Lead with integrity. Whatever it is in your life that you're going through, all I'm saying is consider God's way. Consider allowing him to lead you by his Spirit. Consider allowing him to direct your path and order your steps. Well, thank you so much for joining us again today for our Activation Church podcast. I hope this message has been an inspiration to you. Listen, take time to rate our podcast. It helps us get the message out. Also, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a great YouTube channel with amazing resources. It's Activation Church. So go there, subscribe, and watch our content. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.